Welcome to Security Guy Radio at As Is 2016 Orlando. What's your name?
Toby Houchins, and I'm the founder and CEO of Travel Recon.
Travel Recon. Now, we talked on the phone on my long journey here. As I was traveling, I was doing recon on my way down here from Burbank to Orlando. I was fascinated by your product. Tell us what Travel Recon does.
So Travel Recon is the parent company. The app that we use is called Go Recon, G-O-R-E-C-O-N. And what it is, it's a crowdsourced safety and security app.
Crowdsourcing. Now, let's stop right there and explain this to my nieces and nephews who don't get it. We're going to compare this to something people are familiar with, which is the app called...
Waze.
What's it called?
Waze.
No, I don't know what Waze is. What's the other one? What's the one for driving? What's that one?
That's Waze.
Oh, that's Waze?
Yeah, it's a traffic app.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So when you drive around and it records the user data in the moment collectively, and that becomes a one source of information for that area.
Right.
Very interesting. This is a totally different concept of what most travel things are.
Right.
And this is brilliant. You came up with this idea?
Yes, I did. Got out of the military in 2014.
Right.
I had a career in special operations and just realized that there was a lack of geo-relevant, which means, you know, street level, granular data out there, and even less access for the private sector. Even within the government, it was hard to disseminate things.
So we talked about this too. I did a lot of Intel stuff for the studios. And, if executive wanted to go somewhere, I had to go check in country and find out what's going on. I always registered with the state, State Department in case we had to do an extraction. We knew where people were, that kind of thing.
Right.
But really, it was a piecemeal operation, and I had to know somebody or find somebody. And just open source information was like, don't go to Rio. It's got a lot of crime. Yeah, no kidding.
Right, exactly.
But that doesn't give me more data.
Right.
So tell us how you take your data, how you put it together, and how you come up with decision-making information that people can use.
Right, and that's just it. It's all about actionable intelligence, decision-making tools that allow you to actually lower your risk. A lot of people say they lower your risk, but without having that that granular access to information, you can't. So what we do is we combine the power of the crowds, communities, emerging data technologies, and subject matter expertise. You really have to fuse all three of those together in order to have an effective product. And so we take in data, so basically scouts that are the users of Go Recon
can
report things.
The scout could be, let's say I don't travel.
Right.
Let's say I live in Burbank.
Correct.
And I could join Travel Recon, and I could give you information about what's going on.
That's exactly right. So before you go on a run, before you decide where you're going to go have a business meeting, before you decide where you're going to park your car, you can use Go Recon either to see what other people are reporting, what other scouts are reporting, and also to make your own reports if you want to help other people avoid some of those similar issues and challenges that you're facing.
Now, what I think is interesting about this kind of data, and there's a term for it, I can't remember what it is. Crowdsourcing is one, but it's like a collective. Your information, the collection of all those individuals, is a different source of information.
It is.
And it's probably more accurate in one way.
Right.
Because if you look at, and it's almost like news, right? So you look at the news, the London train bombing comes out, everybody's got the same story.
Right.
How's that even possible?
Right.
Only one person saw one thing, right?
Right.
But with something like this, we're taking the views of all the people in Burbank that day on the 4th of July, and then putting in little nuances, little subtleties, things that they perceive as a certain focal point. And then that becomes data that bubbles up, and you guys can make decisions on that. Now, I'm participating, I get that part. Tell me how the user takes that data and makes a decision with it.
Well, yeah, and first of all, there's a lot of other features in Go Recon too. So besides reporting things, alerts, and also receiving those alerts, there's tracking, there's check-ins, an emergency button there in case something were
like
to happen.
Like a personal safety app kind of.
Exactly, and it's all free because we want everybody to have access to this stuff. And you can also invite your own group. So if you belong to a school and you want to invite
a
school group.
Yeah.
If somebody
goes
family,
on a student tour to Disneyland, the group can be inside that.
Exactly. Okay. So you can create multiple groups and report within those groups, which is very important. And that's all free, and we do that on purpose because we want everybody to have access. But basically, one example of this, and there's a million use cases for this, but you can imagine if your laptop got stolen out of your car on a particular street you parked on. You go to the police, and it may or may not get reported anywhere. You may or may not get access to that police data, depending on how they code it. But psychologically, as a user, you just got your laptop stolen, and you want to help other people avoid that. You use Go Recon to report that, and then the other scouts can then see that over time. Let's say over the last 3 months, hey, there was 10 cars broken into on the street. I'm going to change my decision on where I'm going to park my car.
Right.
You know, and so that's what actionable intelligence is. It actually helps you to make decisions.
Okay. Yeah.
Know, so that instead of just being passive, old, stale, curated, you know, aggregated media, which is context and it's better than nothing.
Right.
You know, this actually says, you know, using the data, you can make decisions that are going to affect your life and lower your risk substantially.
Now, it's an interesting concept because when I was in the movie business, we had a lot of expensive equipment. And if something got stolen, you reported to the police, they scratched their head and said, a BVW 75, what's that? Well, it's a very expensive tape machine. How much does it cost? It costs $100,000. Right. How is that possible? They didn't get it. They didn't care, right?
Right.
And by the way, they're not going to go look for it.
Right.
So we would privately report lost or stolen equipment to private organizations. We'd tell Panasonic that this serial number is missing. So if somebody calls in and says, I want to fix this Panasonic camera, they said, no.
Right.
You stole that from Fox, right?
Right.
I'm thinking of your app in the same way.
Right.
People might not want to go down to the police department and spend all day doing a report when they're leaving to go back to Switzerland, and they just want somebody to know about it. So this data can become additional data, maybe a plurality of data, right? Because just because Burbank PD says 50 laptops are stolen doesn't mean there wasn't 1,000.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
Are you finding people are more apt to report to a private entity like yourself that type of stuff than maybe the police?
Exactly, and that's a great point. We take data security seriously, and we also take anonymity seriously. So we want to make people feel safe, that they're not going to be pinpointed, or we're not going to go find them, or if somebody's accessing
right.
the data, that they're going to go, you know, hunt them down. So, you know, be assured that that's not going to happen. The second thing is you want to make it easy to use and quick, right? So within less than 30 seconds, on your app, you pull out your app, you can report an incident or something that you see that's not right, or something that you want the community to know about. There's a lot of different things that you could see. And, you know, they might be things that are not emergencies. They might be things that are just maybe an indicator, or maybe it's something that's just not right. Or and again, you don't want to go to the police for a variety of reasons.
Right.
And because it, more along the lines of convenience.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
It's just easier just to, you know, pull out the app. And then you feel good about, you know, yourself because, you know, you did something about it and somebody's going to hopefully be able to use that. And, you know, alternative data is a huge industry. It's so rare and it's so valuable, you know, that, you know, getting this alternative data really helps out on a lot of different industries.
Now, it's funny you call it alternative data. My take on it is that was created by the standard data people.
Right.
All right. Because yeah. Fox, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS,
right.
they're losing their market share. Let's just right. face it. I mean, that tragedy in Nice where the guy drove his car,
right.
I saw that on YouTube within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it took them hours to get that put together. And then the data I got from that report was like their version.
Right.
We can't show you this horrific video. Maybe I want to see the horrific video. Maybe I just want to see something raw. Mm-hmm. And I determine what's wrong with it. And I determine if it's bad, not the news.
Exactly.
And the news is doing that now. There's a lot of editorializing, right?
Right.
And I'm in the business so I can say it. And a lot of it's not right. So I see your type of data as the standard now. I really do.
Right.
There's way more people with mobile apps and things that you do than there are four major networks.
Right.
That's just it.
Yep.
So this almost becomes news gathering in a way.
Yeah.
It becomes intelligence data. It becomes entertainment. It becomes all kinds of things.
It does.
It's just fascinating. I think we're just in the infancy of this.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chuck, you just said it. I mean, this is something that is advancing how, I mean, one of our taglines is don't read the news, be the news.
Oh, that's a great one.
I mean, this really is, you know, we're making the data. And so a lot of these, you know, conventional institutions are really alarmed at this because, you know, we're able to get the information out to people
right.
quicker than they can.
And they don't know what to do about it because they will never allow the data to go out without somebody putting a filter on it.
Yep. And that's what we were talking about.
Fair political correctness. And I don't know why they can't flip that switch. I think it's because when those agencies were created, we were in a different era.
Right.
And you wouldn't say damn on TV because my grandmother would have a heart attack. And now it's like anything goes, right?
Right.
And I don't think they can shift away from that.
Right.
And, you know, and we need those things too, right?
Yeah.
But the other danger is, I wanted to ask you about, is can we fear misinformation?
Yep.
And how do you think about that or handle that? In other words, somebody gets in there and they're goofing and they want to put down all kinds of fake stuff. Do you have any checks in place for that kind of thing?
Yeah. So there's two answers to that. You know, first one is, you know, the State Department, the government, you know, some of the bigger, you know, companies out there that provide, you know, travel risk management or, you know, intelligence services, they really feel strongly about quality controlling everything, and they don't push out data or alerts unless it's been, you know, validated to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's 101% true. Yeah.
Right, right. The problem with that is now the consumer, the end user, the person that needs that, the CSO, you know, whoever it is, the police officer, the, you know, now they don't have access to that data, and now they're not making the decisions on that data. That somebody else is. And now time is going by, you know, you've got latency, you know, issues here. So what we do is we kind of change that around a little bit. We put that data out there, and if the, and we'll have kind of a confidence interval with that on our free product. You know, it's, we let it play because it's crowdsourced data, so
right.
you can make your own inferences from the data. But, you know, really we want them to get the data as soon as possible. We'll assign a confidence interval to it if it's going to be, you know, something that they want to use as an indicator and hopefully prevent them from, or one of their people from getting into trouble. That's great. If they want to blow it off, it's their decision. And we think that it should be the security practitioner's decision, not, you know, some, it's not some silo.
Right. I mean, if the government says, we don't know that this is going to happen 100%, that's great. Let me decide if 50% enough scares me.
Right.
In other words, if it's a 50% chance, that's my personal decision to say, I'll go to somewhere else.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, I think that's important. Toby, this is a fascinating conversation.
Yep.
Travel Recon is a great name.
Yep.
It tells me exactly what you guys are doing. And this crowdsourcing, knowledge forcing, what's the term?
Crowdsource safety.
Crowdsourcing safety. Yeah, it's brilliant, brilliant idea. And you got to come in, if you're in Burbank or Hollywood, come in. Let's do a live show, and maybe we can show some demos on the screen and stuff. Free app, we can get it at the app stores on Amazon and Google.
You can get it on, so you can get it on iTunes
Apple.
And the Google Play Store right now, Go Recon. Check it out, play with it, and then we've got a lot of other duty of care travel risk management programs for companies that obviously take advantage of this data and the user experience.
I'm going to download it on my 3,000-mile trip back to the United States, and hopefully you guys can keep track of me.
Right.
All right, thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, beautiful.